B-Pod Studios.
What up? It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Good! Love you, chat. Morning! Shut up, Gabe!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Everybody, happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. It's his, the Midday Show. He is Jason Martinez, a.k.a. Mert. I'm Cuz Anthony Gargano. It's the Midday Show. You know what's funny? And I wanted to get into this, and I say this to you in passing. And it's so elemental. Isn't football great? Right? Like, and then you come back with just the perfect line. You know, every year I wonder, you know, will it take a step back? Will my love dull it? And you go, no, it's just better than ever. Like, this whole week, like last night, and I got back into baseball last night, and so I had a couple ball games that I was watching.
Yeah, you had a window last night.
And all I could think was,
hey, football.
Like, the difference between watching, like, and you can go NFL or college or whatever, and I'm a, you know, I love baseball, but you go into a different watching it, it's such... It's an amazing sport. It just is. Like, that Eagles game on Sunday, like, the range of emotions that you had during the game, when it starts out and, you know, they're scuffling a bit and, you know, you're frustrated. You start to bark a little bit. You're not in full-fledged panic mode, but there's a little seedling of it.
Yeah.
And you're going, oh, my God, what if Carson isn't that good, right? Yeah. And then he gets hot, and then all of a sudden it's thrilling. Like, it's just thrilling every, you know, these plays.
Yeah.
And like, every game, like, you watch, like, you can have the worst game. Like, I watched the end because it was on Fox. They went to it. It was the end of the Lions-Cardinals.
Yeah, I watched
game.
The whole thing, too, like an idiot. I felt like an idiot watching, but I couldn't stop.
No, but therein lies the point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's intrigue.
That's his worst you're going to get, right?
Yeah.
You got a kid in Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Right? Who's playing his first game. And then on the other side, you have the Lions that they just...
But I love watching Stafford.
Right, but
you know what I mean?
But you get the
Patricia.
You know, like, he's like horrible. Like,
yeah.
They call that timeout like the worst timeout possible toward the end of regulation, try to seal away at that point 8-point lead, which was originally 18. And you're watching and you're just going, and you got Dick Stockton, who might as well be talking baseball, like, you know,
while watching a football game,
right? Exactly. So this is all, and you're thinking, still great.
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. Like, you're watching this stuff going great.
Yeah, it's because I found intrigue in it because, like, I'm like, oh, look at this Kyler Murray. Like, what's he going to be in the NFL? There's so many intrigue.
Exactly.
You see this, I watched a little bit of the first half, and I'm going, the first half, it is stinks. But then the second half, I'm going, oh, this kid's just an athlete. You know what I mean? And can athleticism override the measurables for a quarterback? Yeah. And it's rare that it happens, but it has happened.
Like, you're watching Dallas and the Giants, and it's like,
that's boring.
You know, it wasn't boring. It was.
I mean, the game was, it wasn't close, but.
Right, but it still
was intriguing.
Exactly. Like, everything you get, like, that's why the thing, it's on a level of its own when it comes to intrigue.
It's very rare that I get, like, goosebumps or, like, a range of emotions in a game when it's not your team.
Right.
But watching other games, like watching that Monday night game, the early game, and the way that ended between the Saints and the Houston Texans, and I was pulling for the Texans because I love Deshaun Watson.
Sure.
And plus, I want New Orleans to lose because they're a team in the NFC and it could be an impediment for the Eagles. But, and I'm watching this game and I'm just like, wow, like, look at this. Two plays. And I'm going, and then Breeze. And the fact that the receiver gets down and everything, like, I was like stirred. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I go into the season and go to last night. You see what happens, what comes out in the civil suit with Antonio Brown. And I always wonder, like, is this the year that all this off field BS, and we know what he was with the helmet and all the crap and calling Mike Mayock out and them almost getting to an altercation. Like, if all this distraction eventually going to make me go, as I get older, I don't love the game as much because there's too much crap around it. Or is the game not as good because they put this rule in about lowering your head or two mental penalties or this, that, whatever it might be. And then I get the affirmation this weekend, and I told you, it's like getting hit in the head with a club. That football's great, and it's still great. And it doesn't matter all these stories, the rule changes, none of it. The sport's great. And I got hit in the head this weekend. I OD'd on it. I'm watching college. I'm watching that freaking game on Saturday night, which was incredible with LSU in Texas and the atmosphere. I'm watching Penn State, Buff, all of it, all weekend. The sport is freaking awesome. It's go great, perfect for TV. It's great for people that like to go.
Yeah.
I'm in love.
I know.
I'm in love with it, man.
And it's funny because
side-by-side comparison, it kills everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the only thing close to me is playoff basketball.
Yeah, but you got to. But you have to predicate that with right. playoff.
Like I love regular season. Like I love any regular season sport, mm-hmm. right? Like teams. Yeah. I love it. But you know, once you get into like a series play, and it's
oh yeah,
and it's you know like that Sixers Raptors series. Like yeah, like yeah. I, you know like
yeah,
like that's the. That's the only, that's like you go, wow. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's the last time I got, it's funny, the last time I had butterflies before Sunday.
Game 7.
Was game 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Quadruple doinked yeah. out of there, too. Yeah.
Now, yeah. I'm a big playoff baseball guy, too. Like, playoff baseball is awesome.
Because that's a game of, that's like mastery of chess. That's a chess match.
Right. Like, yeah. It's just, it doesn't have the slog factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Nick Vincents and the... Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Playoff baseball music.
No, I do love, like, I love all the... Like, this is our time of year, right? Like, all this confluence of all the sports.
Oh, it's great.
It really is. Like, and I love hearing that playoff baseball, but...
Yeah, that just gave me the chills.
It does. Like,
coming
you know,
back to, like, 2011.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
Because you can hear Joe Buck, exactly. I'm hearing Buck and McCarver.
Stairs into the night.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Oh, that's outrageous.
The Victorino at bat, the Brett Myers at bat with CC Sabathia.
I had a conversation with my buddies the other day. We were talking about that, you know, the home run that gets shortchanged in the Stairs game is the Victorino home run
yes.
that lips over the wall.
Uh-huh.
It was an opposite field job.
Yep.
And
Chavez
into the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Into the Dodgers, but that was the one.
It's a huge one.
That gets it all started and yeah. sets up Stairs into the Night.
Yeah. You're right, though. This is a confluence time of year. And look, I don't know. I don't think the Phillies are getting there. I know they're going to win last night over the Bravos.
No, you don't need to thank you. No.
Doesn't matter. But, you know, you're right, though. Like, I love watching sports.
Eflin's pitching tonight.
Yeah.
So that'll end.
Yeah, series loss. But I love sports. Like, when you mentioned about baseball, it is like two grandmasters at chess playing each other. Every yeah. move has so much strategy and meaning. It's not just simple as trading off a pawn. It doesn't yeah. work that way when you get to the playoffs.
It's true.
You know? So
it's true. But anyway, yeah.
I love this football.
Bringing it back to football and bringing it back to the Eagles. All right, let's start off with the worry, Malik Jackson yeah. and the defense.
Well, they make a move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not Malik Jackson. I tell you what, a lot's going to be on Tim Jernigan. And I feel good. I feel pretty good about that.
Listen, I love Timmy Jernigan.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. He's going to have to log a lot of snaps yeah. between now and in the playoffs.
And exposes a guy.
And you got to be fresh for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm legit concerned. Like, the defense is going to be worth watching over the, like, yeah. again, particularly against Atlanta. Like, what, let's see what happens. We know that in week one, Atlanta gets shut down by Minnesota.
Yeah.
One of your chief NFC rivals. What happens at home now against this Birds defense?
Yeah, and how's the matchup when you consider their receivers and the Eagles secondary?
Exactly. Like this is, you know, this game is an important game in that it gives you a little bit of a window
yeah.
of what the offense is working with. Listen, we know that you can go out, and the Chiefs did it last year. You can go and you could be in overtime and from a Super Bowl. So you can get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, 36 points a game.
By yeah. you know, by a dynamic offense. The Rams, forget the Super Bowl, the Rams mm-hmm. get there that way. So you can get there by outscoring Chiefs. But you know, it makes it a hell of a lot easier if you got a decent defense. Like, I'll ask, just to start the show, I'll ask both you guys. I'll start with you, Jace. When you look at this defense, is it a top 10 defense? Is it a it's not top 5. Is it a top 15? Or is it bottom half?
It's bottom half for two reasons. One, it's not good enough to be top 15. Well, it may be good enough to be like 12 through 15, but it's going to end up being bottom half because they're going to be playing with huge leads very often. So it's good, they're going to give up points that
okay,
they're
forget
not
about
game.
Sheer stats.
Performance-wise,
is this defense?
No, they're still 15 and below.
A top 15.
They may be
defense.
20, like 21 at.
All right. Well, we got
that loss. Big loss.
I mean, we should ranker that.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that's about where. It, again, taking the numbers out of it, because numbers can lie.
I'm saying is you go.
An efficacy.
You know, right.
Yeah. No, they're about, they'll be about 20.
So you say bottom 15.
Yeah.
Good morning, Chunis.
Hello, Anthony.
Back half of the league.
I'm going top 15.
You're going top 15?
I'm going top 15.
Are
I know.
You going, are you going top 10?
No, in the 10 to 15 range okay. is where I'm going to be. I think when you said 12 to 15, that's kind of where I'm at. The Malik Jackson injury scares me. But you still have one of the best defensive tackles in the league, if not the best, in Fletcher Cox. I still like Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett on the outsides. I'm not as worried about linebackers because I think the position of linebacker is not the same as it was 10 years ago.
Until you definitely face not. A team that starts running on you.
Yeah, you're right, but I think that's changed.
I actually like Bradham.
I love Bradham. And then the safety duo, I of course we love Malcolm Jenkins. Rodney McLeod, I really like Rodney McLeod. I know a lot of people
Why?
Don't. I like Rodney McLeod. I think...
What, the person?
I like him as a guy, too.
No, yeah. I like him as a player, too.
Yeah, what do you like about him?
I think he attacks the ball. I think he hits hard. I don't think he's intercepting. He's not intercepting passes, but...
You think he hits hard?
You saw how much of a difference there was on defense when he went down last year. There was a huge difference when he went down.
Yeah, but again, is he going to be the player he even was before? He was okay before.
We don't see eye to eye on
that. That's fine.
Yeah,
I think you completely overrate.
Okay,
Rodney McLeod.
All right, that's fine. I'm not a big Rasul Douglas fan, so I think that's something that they need to
see. I
to
like
fix.
Him, but he needs to be deployed in the right way, and I don't know that he is.
I like him more of a red zone corner. I don't like him when
I like him as a red zone corner
when they haven't even crossed midfield yet. I don't need him out there.
It depends on the matchup,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, again, he's. Again, we've talked about, you know, I'm not going to bore you with hip talk, but hips are important when you're talking about a cornerback and when you're facing a speedster and you get a guy turned around. I mean, he needs to be matched up against taller receivers. Like, he's the mirror Alshon.
Yep. And Darby's got to stay on the burner. You got to
tackle.
Kind of like the Redskins do with Norman. He's going to stay on the number one, you know? You follow him around the field. You don't stay on your side of the field because the offense is going to dictate a matchup. And Rasul Douglas doesn't have makeup speed.
Yeah.
It's clear. Now, maybe, look, they seem really reticent to move him into a safety position, Rasul.
Well, Maddox is, they lie weird, yeah. Oddly.
And he can
they
cover.
Like Maddox better at safety than Douglas. I kind of on the other side of that.
I look at back to West Virginia days for Rasul.
Yeah.
He's tracking balls and getting interceptions in college. He's able to do that in the NFL. He's got a few. So, I don't know. But the other thing is how these weapons on defense are deployed. And I don't have a tremendous amount of faith in that.
And that brings us back to Schwartz.
Yeah.
And, you know, what you think. He spoke yesterday.
Mm-hmm. But again, can this team... To do great, because we're not interested in doing good things as a fan base. We're not. I don't care about good things. I want them to do great things. That's my expectation. And I think they can. But it's going to need guys to step up early here with Malik Jackson down. And the coaching is going to need to step up as well on that side of the ball.
All right. Well, I want to get it started today with defense talk.
Little D.
All right. Because, listen, we know a lot about defense in this town.
We're educated.
You know, it goes way back. It's in the soul of the town.
Aggression. You know what I mean? Like, think about the great defense.
Yeah, and it's, but it's funny. It's not even just, you know, yeah, you're right. You know, aggression. But think about, you know, what we know about defense.
Yeah.
And also do it in relation of a dynamic offense and what you have to be.
Yeah, that's different.
To complement an offense.
One guy on this defense right now couldn't be on the all-time list for Eagles. One guy.
Yeah, other than Fletch. Yeah.
All-time defense. Yeah, he's the only guy. But, I mean, think about the inside guys anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm's legit. Terrific player.
Yeah. He's a second teamer, though, all time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to
be a dog.
Right. No, listen, they've always had great safety, so. Yeah.
610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Boy, we could use a Trot. You know what I mean? You could use a Bobby Taylor right now, or, you know, another safety, a Tim Houck.
Yeah, I just assume give me some more up front.
On the ends especially?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 610-632-0975. We're starting to turn the page today. We got to start to look at the Falcons, Anthony.
Well, I mean, they're going to present a big test. And you tell me where the Eagles' defense is. What you see, are they top 15? If they are, where are they? Top 10? Are they bottom 15?
And can you
overcome
it?
I'll give you my rankings a little bit later on.
All right, I love it. 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show, and it's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all styles of windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Sensational.
All right, real quick before we dive into defense, I got to ask advice for a second.
Well, Doug in 5 minutes, too.
Oh, good. We'll
try to use this new schedule.
It'd be great,
man.
Yeah.
Carson, 11:50.
So I got a puppy. All right. I got a new dog.
All right.
Gagoots.
That's the name of the dog?
Yeah, Gagoots.
Yeah, Gagoots. That was Anthony Jr.'s pet name for his from Tony.
Well, oh. In the Italian American thing, it's. Gagoots is, you know, it's a squash in Italian. Gagoots, but it becomes Gagoots in when it's bastardized. But it's a great name for a dog, right?
Okay. It's a bit of a poseur, yes.
Exactly.
Me.
So Gagoots is a sheep doodle.
Okay, right? So it's a mix.
Sheep dog and poodle.
Yep.
So I got the little one. I still got Prima, who's a labradoodle. Right now we got the sheep dude.
You got to get a third dog. You got to get Stromboli.
So Gagoots is a wild man, and he's big. And he's
we got Doug.
Oh, good.
Hold that thought.
I will.
Back at this.
Didn't want to keep y'all waiting. Good morning.
Is it accurate Malik is out for the entire season? What's the
injury? Well, Malik's injury is obviously significant. There's a good chance that he misses the season. And then Akeem Spence was a player we brought in here, worked him out, and activated him.
What can you tell us about Spence?
He's a big guy, physical. Matt Burke was with him in Miami. He can be disruptive. I mean, he definitely feels the need that we have there at that spot and that open spot. He'll give us some really good minutes, you know, as a fourth tackle. We get him out on the field today, get him caught up, see how he moves around and fits in with the scheme.
Is it realistic to think he can play a role on Sunday with this release?
Yeah, I think so. Coach Daniels will get him coached up with what he needs to know, and it's realistic.
Doug, Tim Jernigan is another guy at that spot. Obviously, last year was very difficult for him from a health standpoint. Do you think he's completely back?
I do. I still think we have to be cautious. I mean, that's an injury that you don't see all the time, but yet he's felt good. We've had great communication with him. We've given him rest, you know, during camp and things like that to try to get him to this point. But I didn't see any signs of any kind of either whether it be a setback or a reoccurrence of the injury on Sunday. He played well. And that's positive for him. Gives him confidence moving forward.
Doug, you've had a number of foot injuries the past year.
Have you guys looked into that in correlation?
Yeah, you know, just like with anything, like we did with soft tissue, we did with ACLs, whatever it might be, we look into everything. And this is no different. It's kind of like the injury that has popped up on our team this year, you know, so seems like every year it's a different one. Yeah, we're looking into that. We're getting a lot of data from, you know, league sources that we've done in the past through, you know, through that and try to educate our players on, you know, whether it be field surface issues, all kinds of stuff.
Doug, when you look at the last three games against Matt Ryan, he's got like a 73.5 passer rating against you guys since you took over three games. What's been the key in that? I mean, it's just so uncharacteristic for him.
Yeah, I think, one, you know, we've been fortunate to have all those games here since I've been here. They've been home games for us. You know, they're a different team, obviously, when they play at home in front of their crowd, and he's very dynamic and electric, and they do some great things in that dome. But, you know, I think there's something to the fact, and he's a great quarterback. I love watching Matt Ryan. I mean, following his career and everything, and, you know, for him, too, is coming back home, you know, and playing in front of family and friends and relatives and stuff when he comes here. And, you know, but our guys just, you know, I don't want to say they play differently, but, you know, they just get after him and they put pressure on him. And anytime you do that to quarterbacks and disrupt their timing, you can cause turnovers, incomplete passes, move him off his spot. Whatever it is, you know, we've been able to do that. And so now it's going to be a challenge down there, loud place, trying to do it again.
Doug, down scroll 16 touches. What's your philosophy with him? Obviously, he's 36. Do you feel like you need to keep an eye on that as the season goes on?
Yeah, we always are going to monitor that each week. you know, kind of going back on that, it's kind of how our game plan fell with the running backs a little bit. Still want to keep him involved, you know, as best we can. But at the same time, we want to make sure that Miles and Jordan, because they both are they're younger backs and can are good and, you know, keep that rotation solid along with Corey. So we'll keep an eye on it.
Doug, when you look at Deshaun's speed, I saw like next gen stats have it like almost 22 miles an hour and stuff like that. I mean, you obviously see it up close during practice and everything, but like when you see it unveiled during the game, I mean, what's that like?
I mean, it's a different speed. You know, and Deshaun will tell you, he's got practice speed and he's got game speed. You know, practice speed is around 16 miles an hour and game speed's up to 22. So, you know, he's a gamer. He's dynamic. He's electric. He loves when the lights come on. And that speed is real. And we saw it Sunday, and it's something that we try to, you know, as we get game plan, we put game plans together. It's not always going to be deep threats, deep throws, you know. We just happen to take advantage of some coverage situations Sunday, and but he's more than just a deep threat.
How do you balance when he got the penalty versus needing that emotion to get himself started? Because you mentioned that after the game, and what was your conversation with him, and how'd you like how he responded?
I mean, he responded. He knew exactly as soon as it happened, you know, that he shouldn't have done it. And listen, there was a lot of emotion to start the game. You know, he's playing against some of his teammates, former teammates, all that. Wrong time, you know, on a 3rd-and-2 to 3rd-and-17. But I just walked up to him and just kind of, I had a grin, he had a grin, and, you know, he knew. I really didn't have to say anything to him. He understood. And, you know, he's moved on from it. He'll learn from it.
On the D-line, was there thought in trying to bring back, Chris Long? Or were you looking exclusively at defensive tackles?
Just specifically D tackles. Yeah, we're pretty deep at D end right now, so just the D tackle spot.
The quarterback sneaks, what makes your offensive line effective on those? They do so well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great play for us. You know, one, we try to run behind Brandon, you know, the right guard, right side. He's powerful. He gets low, which is a key in those situations. And there's just such great surge. Kelsey gets low. Isaac gets low. And if we can get underneath their pad level, and move them off their spots. And then Carson, you know, being strong and powerful and long himself to be able to stretch the ball. And it's just it's a simple play conceptually, but it sometimes can be very difficult from the standpoint of how they want to defend it. But I just think our guys, just it's a mindset. They're powerful, and they've done a good job.
Doug, in the first half, Washington didn't use much of Dallas and Zach when they were together. Like, one or two snaps in the first half, one in the second half, they were talking about more. It felt like, did that go into that to open up the game a little bit? And how did you see Dallas kind of in his first action since that happened?
Yeah, you know, since the calf, I mean, he was another one that we kind of had our eye on, you know, from the standpoint of maximizing his reps during the game. Those were some of the adjustments we made at halftime, you know, as a staff, and getting those guys on the field a little bit more in the second half. But overall, he did well, you know. Gosh, I'd love to see him pull down that ball on the sideline, you know, that he had, but we're going to continue to get them in the mix. I think it's dynamic when those two are in the game together, obviously. But overall, played well.
Doug, your offenses do you see, in, if any, in the Atlanta team this year versus when you played last year in the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these guys are, you know, one, they're healthy, you know. These guys, you know, Keanu Neal, who we've played against before. I mean, Jones, we've played against before. Grady Jarrett is a, you know, he's a game wrecker up front. Vic Beasley can rush the passer. He can bend. He's a lot like, or I should say, Derek Barnett's a lot like this guy from speed and athleticism. It's a good Trufant, you know, being a corner that's going to, you know, match. I mean, it's a solid defense. When you look at them, you know, that's why you can't go off of last week, because we know this defense. I mean, it's another good test for us offensively. It comes down to execution, how well we prepare this week. But this is a playoff caliber team with a playoff caliber defense.
What did you make of last week, though? It was an interesting game. I mean, the Vikings, you know, they got a lead, but they didn't really pass the ball much at all.
Yeah, you know, it's sometimes it's strange that way, how games unfold. I think it was 14 passes or something like that in that game. But, you know, obviously the Vikings did a great job, you know, in the run game and doing some things there. But, again, this is a team that, you know, they're going home. They're going to play in front of their crowd. Home opener for them. It's going to be a different. It's going to be a different atmosphere for us. But it's going to be a different team that we're going to see. You know, I can't speak for why it happened, but just what I saw on tape.
So your offense will play. Excuse me. Your offense will play a completely different team in the first half versus the second half against the Redskins. This week, as you're preparing for the Falcons, what will you focus on more?
Well, I think we focus on the Falcons and we just got to keep doing what we do. And I talked to the team about, you know, just getting 1% better today, and that's what we got to do. We got to focus on the game, the portion of the game plan today in practice starts with the walkthrough coming up. And quite frankly, just, you know, we made the corrections from the game yesterday. We moved on. We learned from those. Try to figure out ways to eliminate that early in football games. And I think having everybody together at one time last week, you know, it was a great atmosphere for our players, coaches included. It was electric. I think there was some of that nervous energy, you know, to start the game. And once we settled in, though, things were good. So on the road, we got to be able to handle the noise, and we just got to start a little bit faster.
We had 90 degrees of success with Carson in the long ball, and how he throws it. Sometimes it's been a little too hard and low, but the two ones he threw Sunday were perfect, and now they landed in Deshaun's. What have you seen in that development, especially over this past year?
I just think these two guys have really worked on it, not only in practice but after, throwing those deep balls. And that's really what it comes down to. If they miss in practice, they're going to spend some time afterwards and get another two or three throws at that ball. And that's something that Carson, I think, is learning with Deshaun and the speed, is just being able to just put the ball up and out there and let him go get it. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson addressing the media, his midweek availability. Certainly a much different opponent this weekend than was last week. And a bit, to back where we started, bigger test for this defense for sure.
Yeah, it is. And we were talking a lot of defense. But the other thing real quick that was interesting, and I think Jeff brought it up, but it's true. Minnesota had such an odd game plan where they didn't throw it. Now, one of the reasons why is the offensive coordinator is Jacksonville now, our old friend.
Yep.
But, and
Flip.
Right. But the coach really likes to run the football. And, you know, there was issues between he and DeFilippo, you remember. And so he came out with a statement like, look, man, we're going to run the football. This is what it is. And Dalvin Cook was tremendous. But the thing that's interesting is they didn't get tested. Now, Cousins was, like, almost perfect, but in short sample size. What is the Falcons' defense?
Yeah, and they had that injury to their safety in the preseason, lost him. So,
yeah,
I mean, look, the Eagles, this may be a good matchup for them, offense versus the Falcons' defense as well. So they could do some damage offensively. But, like, as we sit here today in the middle of, you know, between week one and week two, the question is this defense, because if you're going to do great things, it's got to be at least passable.
Yeah, no, and that's why, and that's the basis of the conversation. Hey, the other thing, too, is real quick, United States lost to France.
Saw that.
In the FIBA.
58-game winning streak over?
They lost by 10 to France.
Well, it's going to do exactly what you said. It's going to force another dream team to make a statement.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen.
France knocked out Lithuania, too. They got a good squad.
No, they do. Gobert.
Fournier.
You know, I mean, it's good.
Ntilikina.
But still, I mean, you lose.
You should be.
USA's
losing.
Out.
Oh, yeah, USA shouldn't lose.
Yeah.
To France? Really? I said a long time ago, and Jason just alluded to it, you watch. Dream team, because LeBron is... And he's not doing it on purpose. It's the right thing to do with, like, Space Jam 2. So everything that Jordan did, LeBron will do, including put together this Dream Team 2. You watch. LeBron will headline USA Dream Team 2. Yeah,
for the next summer games.
Yeah.
And they'll go out there and they'll just destroy everybody, presumably.
Because you can't lose to France. Come on.
No, that can't happen. But think about, like, the guys in the NBA playing all over the world now. You know? You got really good NBA players playing all over the world. So no, the world has caught up a lot.
Australia's a good squad, and they didn't even have Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
No, the world is definitely... It's not like it was, you know, 25 years ago when they were doing it, or 20 years ago.
We're sending college kids over there.
Yeah.
Sending the amateurs over there.
So this is... No, it's a different landscape.
Yeah. Tony Parker.
I just found it interesting.
Big part of that growth in France.
Yeah. No, the team's good team.
Sure. 610-632-0975. We're going to get to the phone calls, get to everybody. Got a couple open lines you want to grab. Again, 610-632-0975. We're going to put a little focus on this defense today and that matchup this week against Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. You got Julio, Sanu. They got some weapons.
Yeah. And the thing I really want to answer is, where are we at with this Eagles defense? Who are they?
Yeah.
Anybody have any inkling into a window into who they are?
They got to get some pressure. Baldy said he liked what he saw on tape. Derek Barnett, he's got to be a big part of it. Third year, first round pick. It's got to be a bust out season for Derek Barnett. 610-632-0975. Carson Wentz will speak at 11:50. You'll hear that live here on the Midday Show. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Said 52
playoffs.
Midday Show. Yeah, you gave me these NFL numbers.
Oh yeah, the game.
Oh my lord.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock game on Saturday, Ant, or Sunday, excuse me. The game of the week on Fox. Cowboys, Giants, right? How about the number of people watching this football game? It was the most watched week one game. 23.9 million viewers.
Who says football's the decay? All this talk over the summer, people tell me, oh, football's in trouble, football's in trouble.
No, it ain't.
I think with the labor aspect, guys playing, kids playing, is somewhat of an issue. I think that's real.
Sure.
Because, you know, the participation in sports down. So I think that's legit. But
you pay the price for that in a decade plus.
Right, but that's different than people don't like to watch. People love to watch it. You just got to find people to play it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I mean, think about that. So many great games this weekend. I know it started off with a kind of a dud with two great teams.
Who cares? It's great football, man. It's football.
Yeah.
But
that's amazing, though. Wow.
You know, but you got to be, you know, to play that sport, it can be tough, and you got to be a little out there.
Mm-hmm.
As Antonio Brown... he proves.
What do you make of this? I know it's alleged, and it wouldn't be the first time something was alleged and not true, but where it is. But again, it's just this distraction of...
Well, his response, classic.
But the email responses.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's what you're talking...
Yeah.
I saw he just put on Twitter, don't at me. Like, come on.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah.
He's got a screw loose. That's, you know, that's the bottom line.
Well, he ain't exactly Hemingway either.
Nah. Well, now, you know, to fire it off, that's all right, whatever. what I'm going to say, you know, boats and hoes, like, what am I going to say to that?
Unbelievable.
What are you going to say to that? What are you going to say to that?
Boats and
hoes. Like, that was the response he had. All right.
I would have listened to, like, a judge recite that at a deposition.
It was classic,
wasn't it?
let's throw out a little shout out. Steve, the UPS man.
Okay.
Who's listening? Greg, I met Steve earlier. He had some 97.5 packages.
Oh, he was in the building. Drop.
Yeah, Steve,
cool.
The UPS guy. He's a great guy, Steve, from down there.
There you go. In the big brown truck.
Loves the show.
Nice.
We're a package society now.
I was just
so
showing
between
Andrew.
The UPS and the Amazon guys.
I was just
showing
Andrew.
They keep life revolving, man. Those guys are hard workers.
And the Postal Service.
Oh, of course.
We got a lot of postal.
USPS, that's
carriers.
Right. Oh, I love our guy here, who's terrific.
Oh, the old school letter carriers.
Well, without a doubt.
I got the package coming today.
You guys show some love.
Little new headphones coming to the house today.
Oh, you got new headphones?
Yeah, new set of cans. Mine finally bit the dust. So.
You think I should actually? I've never had headphones.
Yeah, you should go get a nice pair.
I've always denied the fact that I'm a radio host.
Well, that's the sign that you're a radio guy when you got your own headphones.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're still a journalist.
Almost 20 years.
My man Marty sent me a pair, remember?
Yeah.
I only had one earphone working for about a year and a half.
So he sent you a new pair of cans.
Who's Marty?
One of our great listeners. He
really?
Felt bad. He works in rock radio somewhere, and he's like, listen, dude, you got to have a pair of headphones that work. So he sent me a pair of headphones.
No, not Marty from San Antonio.
It might have been Marty from San Antonio.
Yeah, because he's not in the area.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Marty. Marty is the greatest. In fact, he's the drummer for the Dixie Chicks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's married to him. Yeah, Marty's the best.
Ah, hanging out with that Natalie broad?
Marty is the greatest. Like, he's an awesome 4-for-4 guy.
Down in San Antonio?
Yeah. Marty Strayer.
Yes, that is him. And
it's Marty. Marty's the greatest.
Yeah, he's
the greatest. It's funny, when you said Marty, I'm going, I wonder if that's my Marty.
Yep. We email back and forth about the show all the time.
Dude, he is one of the great dudes.
Very nice man.
Ever. And he's a big, he's a big music man. Like, you know.
Send me these cans
He doesn't work in rock radio. He's a music.
He's a producer.
He's a true musician.
He's like a music producer, right?
I talked to him once. He did say he did some radio stuff, but
yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah,
but
like, wrote hits.
You know, yeah, exactly. No, this guy's got real talent. You know, he's
not our BS
talent. Like, you slogging around the back pushing buttons for this show.
That's me,
right? No, Marty's the man. He's a big loves the birds.
Yes, he does.
I love Marty. He keeps threatening to come in. I keep wanting him to come by, stop by.
Got to get in here when he comes to town. But yeah, he sent Andrew headphones. That was very nice of him. So Andrew's got a professional set of cans.
He also offered to pay for my Red Zone subscription. Yeah. So I don't have that either.
Yeah. He's a good man. He's
a very nice man.
You know what? He's just such a great... That's awesome.
He's a giver.
Oh, totally.
We love a giver. 610-632-0975. Let's get to the phones. Let's talk some Eagles. Let's talk some defense. A-Rod starts us off and Willow Grove on the Fanatic. What's up, A-Rod?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening, brother?
I'm so glad we're finally talking defense, man. So check it out. Last year, we lose 3 games of 14 or more points, right? We played the Cowboys. It's last year. We played the Cowboys. The Cowboys need 5 yards for a field goal. The receiver gets a free release. Switch runs like a deep prevent. They get their 5 yards. They get the field goal. On Sunday, 3rd and 2, free release on the receiver. 10 yards between the receiver and the DB. Mm-hmm. Case Keenum just gives it to his wide receiver. Wide receiver just walks to the first down. Right. The only time that we got the ball back is any time that the Redskins dropped the ball. It wasn't because they weren't open. It's because they dropped the ball. Right. We get Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox, right? Number one, number two in QB pressures throughout Sunday, right? Between all the games, right? And then you got Graham in there, number four, right? So, like, we can get to the quarterback, but the quarterback's going to get a wide open receiver every time. So, how can we get the quarterback if he has a wide open receiver every single time? Free release every single time on the wide receiver.
Yeah. Listen, I'm with you. I always prefer press man, unless, you know, it's third and you know, a bunch where, you know, you can play off a little bit. But I'm a big press man kind of guy, you know, but the problem is he doesn't blitz. He doesn't like pressures.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.